They departed for their country by another way. I don't know about you, but it seems like time's flown by since the holiday season started, right? It doesn't seem that long ago that we were celebrating Thanksgiving, getting ready for Advent, putting up decorations, and now all of a sudden, a month or so later, we're at the end of the Christmas season. You guys feel like that? Is it just me? Kind of time's flying by, right? But a lot's happened in our last month or so. I'm sure for many of us, we've had the family get-togethers, the Christmas parties, both at home and at work, travels near and far, plenty of hustle and bustle. We fit a lot into the holiday season, into the Christmas season. But hopefully in the midst of all that busyness, you had time for prayer, actual time for family, not just running around. And my prayer is that for all of us, that Christmas spirit, that joy from that Christmas weekend doesn't end when we take down the lights or the Christmas trees. Hopefully that's a joy that stays in our hearts all year long. And to be honest, Epiphany for me, especially as a kid, has always been kind of a bittersweet celebration, because that's always when the time for the Christmas tree to come down in the house. And where we put our Christmas tree, we take out an end table and a lamp, so there's usually light in that corner of the house. But for some reason, when the tree goes away and that lamp comes back, somehow it's just not as bright as it was before. You know, it's just something different. The house seems dimmer. You don't have the lights. Outside, you know, it's darker. So it was always kind of sad because I always liked seeing the tree, you know, and having the figurines around. And then, of course, when the Christmas season ends, that always meant going back to school. You know, meant being in the middle of winter. This year, there's not even any Packers to make it better. You know, it's kind of like, what do you do? But in a sense, it always reminded me of that going back to normal. So it was nice because you think back to Christmas, all the memories, the time with families, the laughs. But it always felt like, all right, now it's back to the routine. We go back to work, vacations end. And the family that would stay with us had already gone back home to wherever they came from, and things were a lot quieter. But the question that I think Epiphany begs of us is, what has changed? Because if we're in that mindset of just going back to quote-unquote normal, doesn't that mean then we forget everything that happened during Christmas and Advent? So I think the important question is to say, what is our new normal? What's the routine that we're going to go back to? What country are we traveling back to, in a sense? Now, the Magi have a lot of meaning for us, and they give us lots of ways to reflect on Christmas and what it all meant. The gifts that they bring have great meaning, of course, and we can think about the gifts that we got, you know, both physically, you know, exchanging, of course, the spiritual gifts from Christmas. The three men, they also represent the universality of the church and God's love for all people as they represent the different continents of the earth, all coming following one light to worship the Messiah. All good thoughts to reflect on. But who really were the Magi? What did they do? You know, we call them kings and call this Three Kings Day, but really they weren't kings, but rather they were scientists. They were astrologers who studied the night sky and the patterns of the stars and the planets. And I was curious to find out a little more about how that all happened. You know, now we have modern technology to make things easy, but what did that mean 2,000 years ago to follow the star and how that affected their travels? So I was reading about a lawyer and a law professor by the name of Frederick Larson. Frederick Larson, who did research on this account of the gospel, on St. Matthew's account of their travels, and found a group of specific measurable characteristics having to do with the Star of Bethlehem. And I won't go too deep into the astrology, one, because I don't understand it, but two, I also don't want to put you guys asleep. But it is interesting, and it might be worth looking him up to get the further details. But he used modern astronomical means to search for an explanation for this bright star that they saw. Now, with modern technology, scientists are able to recreate what a night sky looked like on any date in history from any vantage point. And some people after the 7:30 Mass had mentioned they had gone to a museum, I forget where they said, where this is true. With all the computer technology, you can see the night sky of Bethlehem from 2,000 years ago. It almost seems a little too good to be true, but that's where we are with our modern technology. But the Magi didn't have that. What they had was philosophy. They had the scriptures, the words of the prophets, old-fashioned studying and looking for patterns. And so, to make a long explanation very short, Professor Larson started to use his tools to figure out what was happening in that night sky 2,000 years ago. He wanted to see what the Magi saw. So Jupiter was known as the king planet. It's kind of what his nickname, if you will. And in September before Jesus' birth, the motion of Jupiter in its orbit created an elliptical shape, kind of like a crown-like pattern above what was known as the king star. So here we have relation to Jesus' kingship, like a coronation almost, the crown being placed above the king star. Then secondly, the constellation Leo was also known as lion. Leo meant lion. And in biblical symbolism, a lion was the symbol of Judah. And the Old Testament prophecies predicted that the Messiah would be born of the tribe of Judah. We heard that in our gospel today. Another connection. The third connection is the constellation that rose in the east after Leo, which was called Virgo. Also means virgin. And at the bottom of that constellation, at the foot of it, was the new crescent moon, also known as the birthing moon. So here we have the virgin constellation above the birthing moon. So the Magi put all this together to know that the king of the Jews was being born. 9 months later, Jupiter and Venus came so close together that the light from their planets, they merged, becoming the brightest light in the night sky, the brightest that the Magi would have ever seen at that point. And this led them to Bethlehem. Now, I share this all with you not only because it's kind of interesting, I think it's interesting, and historical, and shows the connection between Scripture and history and how God operates, but it's also to show that God's light has radically been shown to all corners of the world, not just in symbolism, not just in our prayer, but literally, it has happened in history that God's light has shone to every part of the world. And those three men represent those different continents. They saw that light, they responded, they followed it, and they experienced Jesus. It is that light that draws us to experience Christ. The Magi are examples, representations of us on our own faith journey to experience Jesus, to witness him, to be with him, and of course to worship him as they did. Isn't that what our Christmas season has been all about? If you remember at the Easter Vigil, when we sing the Exultet, we proclaim the flame of the Easter candle, a flame to be divided but undimmed. God's light shines everywhere, but it's not dimmed. And that flame, that light that we proclaim at Easter, began here with Jesus' birth, when the stars and the planets literally aligned perfect so that everyone could come to know and worship him. Think about the wonder of that. It wasn't just coincidence. It wasn't just some moment that happened to line up. But God's power and God's love was so great that the powers of the universe aligned perfectly. In history, we have that proof. So once the Magi were there and did him homage, one of the most then important parts of the gospel takes place. It's that very last line. They departed for their country by another way. Yes, they had the dream. They were trying to avoid Herod. They had that knowledge. But it's hard to say that their hearts wouldn't have been transformed by the experience of worshiping the Messiah right there before them. And so we go back to the original question. How has our life been transformed by the Advent and Christmas season we just celebrated? Because when we meet Jesus and experience him, it should cause us to go about our lives in a different way. Whether it be in the daily tasks after coming to weekly Mass, whether it be in a large sense after a Christmas season, we should change because we need to constantly convert and turn back to Christ, to experience him and to be better. If we just go back to return to where our faith was, we've kind of missed the point of the Christmas season. We need to return in a way where faith shines in all that we do and to all people that we encounter. If we just go back to the normal routine, the same habits, the same thoughts, and just move on from Christmas, we've missed the point. This is the culmination of all the preparation we put into Advent, the celebration and the joy that we felt on Christmas morning, and the worship of Jesus in the manger. It is about going back in a different way. Epiphany is about transformation. And the message of the three kings, the wise men, the magi, is about experiencing Christ and then going back in a different way. That extra time that you might have made in your day for prayer during Advent that was difficult to carve out, but you did it and you made it work. The forgiveness that you gave someone that was difficult. The forgiveness that you've accepted from someone that might have been even harder. The attention that you've given your faith, the good works. None of that should stop because Christmas is over and just go back to the old schedule and the old routine. Don't turn away from all those good things just because the Christmas lights come down. Let your heart continue to be transformed by the journey to meet Jesus. And may that bright star over Bethlehem shine in all of our hearts, for all people, forever.